morning. Well, hello, hello.
Hello.
We just set up some shake cloth. Was it yesterday, the day before? Losing track.
I think it was the day before.
The day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday.
Right. We have two shake cloth structures, and we thought we'd talk about it today.
Ta-da!
Because it's so timely.
Yes, we're coming in on a week of mid-80s and going to hit 90 sometime over this weekend. So getting some shade up was critical for particularly the deciduous trees.
So what do you think about shade cloth, Carmen?
I think it's heavier than it looks. And I think it makes my arms really tired, but I think it's very useful. And I think if I had $1 million, I would automate my entire shade system.
Ooh.
But
right.
I don't have $1 million. So day. At this point, I'll use my muscles and a ladder.
Flipping a switch is a lovely thing.
Oh, it's just fabulous.
All right. Well, let's unpack some of that. So what is shade cloth?
So what is shade cloth? Shade cloth.
What is shade cloth?
It's a cloth that provides shade for your plants, et cetera.
Yeah, et cetera, right. It can be many different things. Yeah, and it comes in different percentages and is usually made of kind of like a plasticky kind of. The percentages are a bit like if you were to go to the beach or something like that and you were to spread sunscreen on your skin, you can get some that's really, really light, you know, that doesn't protect you from an awful lot of sun, and eventually you're going to get a sunburn, right? And then you can have some that is going to protect you for a lot and protect you for many, many hours, you know, like 50 SPF. And for shade cloth, we can get percentages that are like 10% all the way to 90%. And 10% is letting through a lot of light. So only 10% shade is what that means. And 90% is almost all of the light is shut out. So we have to make a decision about that. So how hot is our beach where we're growing our plants?
The nice thing though about shade cloth is you don't have to reapply.
Right, but we have to put it up and take it down in most situations.
Yeah, you have to get good coverage
where you live,
because if you miss a spot, you will burn.
I don't know, just to pick a spot from North America, like Los Angeles, you can probably have your shade cloth up year round.
Yeah.
In some areas, you want more, maybe you might want more light in the dormant season. You might take it down. Also, if you get snow, you got to take it down before any possibility of snow lands on it, because then it'll just rip it down.
Yeah.
From the weight. So let's talk about applications and where. Where? So we're in the Willamette Valley of Oregon here, and we need shade cloth from about May through September. That's when this climate becomes very deserty. It's a little surprising to people from North America that Oregon, which is kind of known to be moldy and mildewy and fungusy because of all the rain we get in Western Oregon, but even Western Oregon feels like California. You know, it's very deserty, hot. We can go 60 days without rain.
It's crazy. I will say I was shocked the first summer, my first summer here.
Yeah, it's surprising.
It's get rain for summer. Months. If you like summer,
very
it's
low
perfect.
Humidity, right? Which means we need shade cloth, especially if we want to grow things like deciduous trees, and we have a lot of those in the yard.
Yeah, there's a lot of light intensity here too. It seems brighter than maybe over east.
That's interesting. That might be because of the lack of humidity.
I'm wondering. Yeah, I wonder if it's the lack of humidity. Because
we have a lack of a lot of things, including thunderstorms. And occasionally, we get some of those. What are they? Snow, thunder, whatever that is.
Oh, thunder, snow. Yeah.
Thunderstorm. I had it backwards. often that happens more often than anything that goes on in the summer, because it's hard to even spot a cloud. It's an exciting event. So shade cloth.
Right, back to shade cloth.
Climate. So I used to live in Arizona, and I was living up at an elevation. It was just under 5,000 feet. So it was really stark sun. I mean, that was really pretty. Pretty sharp sun, but it wasn't as bad as some of the cities, you know, like Phoenix or Tucson. But I had 50% shade cloth up year round, I think. Well, we had a little snow up there, so I'm not sure what I did with snow. I can't remember. But I had a big square that must have been about 20 by 20 feet and my tiny little collection fit underneath this. This is back when I was a potter. And I had a piece of 50% shade cloth over that. And I can't remember whether that was woven or knitted, but that's another another topic that we'll get to in a minute about the different types of shade cloth. So it depends upon where you are. I think in most deserty climates, maybe hotter than what I had, you probably want to, just to talk about percentages, you might want to be above 60% if you want to grow maple, for instance, something like that. Whereas if you grow a lot of pines, you may want a little bit of light shade cloth just to keep the heat off the pots. Shade cloth isn't just for the leaves. It's also to keep down this ambient temperature from direct sun hitting gravel, hitting the benches, hitting the whole area, flagstones if you have them. I mean, a great bonsai yard for climate is, you know, like grass underneath it, because it's evaporating and it's like absorbing, reflecting light in a very different way than like gravel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would love that. But what we have in my garden is gravel just for functional concerns.
Much easier to maintain. I will
it's
say that.
It's so wet most of the year. There's no way we can.
Right.
Maybe AstroTurf would be the way to go.
Oh, there you go. Although still, that's not going to give you the same absorption, you know.
Absolutely.
What was your shade cloth structure back in Arizona? What was it hanging up on?
It was wood. It was like four by four posts. And that's, you know, you can get those pretty sturdy, especially if you get some cross bracing in there with like cables. So you put the cables in the corner up on top, and then the shade cloth just sort of rests gently on top of this. You don't have to tie it that tight, really, because winds go right through shade cloth. For the most part, you have to have a really high percentage to get any trouble with wind. You don't really want to over tighten it either. You can tear it a little bit, which brings us to the question of woven versus knitted. So woven shade cloth has little squares that it looks, it's very even. It's heavier. It's a little more expensive, and it's a little stiffer. It doesn't stretch very easily. So your measurement of the piece that has to fit your space more perfectly. Whereas knitted is a little stretchier, it's lighter. And one of the key features of knitted, and one of the reasons it's often recommended for many applications, is that if you punch a hole in the fabric, it doesn't unravel, whereas woven can unravel. We have both in my yard, actually. We have one very strange looking piece, which is not rectilinear. And I called a number of places to have them order it. And this is another point, is that to get anything outside of like a 10 by 20 foot piece, you're going to have to custom order it. You can get small little pieces at a, you know, nursery center maybe, but anything beyond that pretty much requires a custom order. And there's a lot of competition for this. So they want to help you, and then it'll arrive in the mail exactly as ordered. But the problem is, I had this very strange shape. It wasn't rectilinear. I had this very strange, I have a five-sided studio. So this was going up against the studio, and it had this very strange, like 30 degree angle on it. And I did a little drawing, and I took a photograph, and I sent it off to a whole bunch of people, and everybody said no. And one person said yes. And I didn't realize that I had kind of managed to miscommunicate with them what I wanted.
Oh no.
One of the angles ended up being wrong. So anyway, it wasn't their fault, but
it works pretty well.
It's not too bad. But that's the woven one, and the problem with the woven one is that it doesn't, because it doesn't have that stretchiness. You really have to have your measurements just right.
If so, you it's start a little tricky. At the wrong grommet.
Exactly.
You got to redo it.
Exactly. So let's talk about grommets. So the shade cloth is one thing. It's the cloth. But then on the edges, you have this like folded piece of fabric. And in that fabric, that strong fabric, you have these grommets, which is this little metal ring. And there's a hole in it. And there you can attach your string that you attach to your structure, or maybe a zip tie, or maybe you hook that onto some sort of a screwed in hook or something. That last one, that's the trickiest one to do because your measurements have to be just right. One of the problems with shade cloth is that once you've had it up for a year or two, it's going to shrink by a few inches if it's of any size at all. Mm-hmm. And one of ours is, how long is that? It's like 70 feet. One of the longest ones that we have.
Yeah.
Is it about that long? Something like that.
Something like that.
It's so that big. One shrank by probably almost a foot on one end. But after the first few years, it doesn't. We found zip ties to be the easiest way to put these things up. My shade cloth structure is a metal 3-inch black steel square. So we can get a 14-inch zip tie, have it go through one of the grommets and around the structure and still have a couple inches left over and have a little bit of wiggle room and some of that, you know, some of that shrinking issue and all that, and it can still work. So in our yard, this isn't your yard, but we have a couple of different percentages in the yard.
Yeah.
I tried 30%, but our summers are too intense here. And we'll get back to that about the intensity in the summer and my suggestion to plan for the extreme annual temperature. We'll get to that in a minute, but 30% wasn't enough. And so
were you seeing burning on the leaves or was it just too hot?
Yeah. And yellowing.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Just stress, just sun stress. Just
overall stress. Wow.
We have enough deciduous trees that in both areas I was trying to keep deciduous trees and it was just too much. Mm-hmm. There. So we went up to 40%, and that was about right. In the other area, we have 50%. So if you have multiple areas, try different percentages because that just gives you more environment, greater range in your habitat. And that'll allow you to keep more plants happy, more different types of plants. Many of our pines and junipers are right out in full sun. In fact, I don't think we have any under the shade cloth, except like on the edge where they're getting pretty much full sun anyway. And that brings up another point, which is sides. Height is really important. Did we talk about this yet? The height?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So height is kind of important. Let's talk first about ramada. So if you have a ramada, think about it this way. If you have a ramada and you have strips of wood on top, and if you look at your gravel or your bench or your leaf, it's often the ramada, it has full shade in one spot and then it's really sunny in another. It still gives an advantage to the plant because, you know, the sun moves, but it's not really an even shade. And that's the great advantage of shade cloth is that the little squares are so small that if you get it at a certain height, you get this very soft shade where you can't really tell the structure of what it is up there. But the height is the key. Mm-hmm. If you get it 6 feet or above, you get that even shade. So that means these have to be really high. If the tree is on a bench and the tree is 2 or 3 feet tall, then you've got to be above 10 feet above the ground for your shade cloth structure. But because of that, that also means that at many times of the year, the sun is kind of cutting in from the side and it can go really deep into your planting area with an intense sun. So then you might want to drop something down one of the sides, maybe the same percentage of shade cloth just sort of hung down there and tied on, as long as it doesn't get in the way of you like carrying your bonsai in there.
How long is our side? It's what, about 2 feet?
Yeah, 2.5, 3. Yeah, it's not much more than that. It'd be nice to have it longer in some areas. But maybe someday we'll order a more of a triangle because we have a sloped.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Another custom slope. Piece. That'd be interesting. Yeah,
right. These are not, just to go back to the custom orders, these, if you have anything over like 30 foot square or something like that, these aren't really cheap. You expect to pay a few $100s for this, but they last for a good long time, depending upon the intensity of your sun. They can last for 10 years, which isn't too bad. It's longer than many greenhouse plastics can last.
Yeah, it's one of those things too. You pay for, or you get what you pay for with shade cloth. I've ordered a cheap piece off Amazon that was, just, it worked, but it wasn't great. So definitely go to a nursery supply company because they can get you the right percentage of shade, the right size. It'll be a little bit expensive, but I mean, if you're going to do bonsai, it's worth the investment.
Going back again about the percentage of shade cloth, one thing I've discovered through painful experience is that if you're kind of on the edge of how much percentage in your area is right for the plants you're trying to grow, then when you have your annual extreme temperature jump, which might be for a week or two out of the year, then they might feel some stress. So you might want to do 10% more than what you think is ideal, 10% more shade, then they'll be protected during that extreme bump. So here where we live, for instance, we rarely get to 100, but we will 2 or 3 times a year for a few days. And so the shade cloth that we have protects for that bump. Otherwise, we could probably go a little lower.
Yeah, I found that most standard Well, back in Michigan at the greenhouses there, it was, you know, standard shade cloth was about 40 to 60%, you know, depending on what you were growing, just to knock down the intensity and the heat just a little bit. So kind of right in the middle, unless you've got real extreme intensity or heat. Yeah, those seem to be about the right numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Color, the standard color is black. Green is pretty popular. You said you had green.
Yeah, we've got some green too. It's kind of like a real deep olivey green kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Why don't they make it white? I wonder, is it just because it's hard to make white plastic?
No, then there's aluminate, you know, that's also reflective. You'd think white would be as well, but black, you know, it absorbs it.
I wonder how that
affects UV protection.
I wonder how that affects the heat, though. I wonder if a white or the aluminum color would be different temperature-wise.
What haven't we covered? Oh, trees versus shade cloth. So if you have a really big tree in your yard, without the chance, if it doesn't work in your yard to have shade cloth, it's possible to use like a large tree adjacent to a bonsai yard to protect from some sun in the afternoon, for instance, late afternoon, where the sun is beginning to angle down and our high temps begin to form. It's always tricky being near trees because you have branches falling on the bonsai in a wind or something like that. And then there's the debris issue. And then there's just the maybe too much shade, you know. Mm-hmm. Can be more like full shade, which could work for some plants, but not for others. And that's where we get back to the sort of this habitat idea of the more percentages of shade cloth you have, or something like that, an airy tree or something like that, the more variety of plants you can have. One thing I don't recommend is having your bonsai directly underneath a tree. That's bad news. I did a post many years ago about, there were three little junipers, or maybe they were pines, and they were like little shrub-like things, like a Mugo pine or something like that. And one was underneath the tree, another was right on the drip edge, and the other was out in the sun. And the one out in the sun was doing great. The one on the drip edge was not as strong, and the one under the tree was dead. And I think that the large tree had like grown out over this line of shrubby trees. Mm-hmm. But that's a good a good example of why not to put certain trees, especially your really, really high foot candle desiring plants like your junipers and your pines. You put them under heavy shade there.
But going back to your comment about creating these different habitats, so that you can have more species and more variety, also that kind of falls or leads us into a conversation about micro positioning. And that's something that we do here a lot as the weather changes, just scooching trees, you know, a foot further down the bench for a little bit more shade or protection, or moving things from 40% to 50% shade cloth, depending on, you know, what the weather is going to do. So not only does it allow you just to have a bigger variety of things, but it allows you to kind of cater to what the trees need at whatever specific time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We do a lot of that scooching. Mm-hmm. Don't we? In fact, we were just doing it the other day. We were talking about sort of the edge of the shade cloth structure and how you might, you know, drop some fabric down, you know, as a side shade. And even so, you might have some sun that sort of sneaks in under the bench. And then so that first tree or two might be getting full sun. And so we were replacing some trees. What did we put out there? I think we put a juniper.
There's juniper.
We switched out.
Some trident maple.
I think. Yeah. The trident maple can take a little bit more.
Azalea.
Yeah. The Japanese maples, chochubai, we tucked a little further back in. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of swapping. Mm-hmm. Yep. Micro positioning. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're giving this chat in May. And May is, in the Northern Hemisphere, like the worst time to custom order your shade cloth because everyone else is thinking the same thing. So we have this problem actually when we jump up in temperature, you know, we miss the 70s. We never have 70s here. It goes from 60s all the way to 80s.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
Switch. It's a big jump. And during that week, when this happens, you go to, you know, a home improvement store or something, and all the AC units are gone.
Yeah, all the fans. It's like you got to buy a fan back in March.
Exactly.
Because otherwise,
exactly.
You're not going to find ahead. A fan until next
Put
winter.
Put it on your calendar. Right. Yeah. So as far as ordering shade cloth for your specific size, do it in the fall when shade cloth manufacturers are twiddling their thumbs. Yep. And they'll be super eager to help you.
Absolutely. And then you'll be prepared. Well, thanks, Michael. I appreciate this. And
thank you, Carmen.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go out and, you know, look at the shade cloth now. Water some trees, make sure everything's scooched appropriately.
All right. Cheers. Till next time.
All right. See ya.
The music on today's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Blue Dot Sessions. Check them out at www.sessions.blue.